I think the Lord Jesus has definitely been lifted up in this place today. Amen. Praise God. I'm great, glad to be back with you. And we got to be together about a month ago. And praise the Lord for the invitation to come back and get to worship together and just get in the Word together. And pray God has been blessing East End Baptist in so many different ways and with direction and just understanding His will in this time. And I'll tell you what, we got to share some time together. I understand some from East End got to be a part of the Acts 1-8 one-day missions. Caleb and I were talking earlier, and if you got to be there yesterday in Hot Springs, I want to thank you on behalf of our city, which is where I live, for coming. It was pretty awesome to see Arkansas Baptists gather all over the state, from all over the state, and come and be part of helping the local churches serve and get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And I learned yesterday, I got to be part of that as well with the church family that we serve there together. And yesterday I know of several people in our city that came to know Christ. They got saved yesterday. Amen. And so it was an eternally impacting day. I give God the glory for that. Thank you for your service and for coming to be part of that. Well, I'd like you to open your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 6, John's Gospel. We're going to be in chapter 6 together, and we're going to get into this area today of this direction of there is no way without Jesus. There's no way without Jesus from John chapter 6, where we'll spend our time. As we get into the Word together, let's go before the Lord right now, and let's have this time to pray. Father, I thank you so much for saving your people. I thank you, Lord, that as we have sung these songs this morning, that Christ has filled this place, that this entire sanctuary is just focused on Jesus. And I thank you for that, Lord. We are saved by Christ. Our lives are commissioned. Lord, our lives don't even make sense unless Jesus Christ is leading us all the way through. And so, Lord, I give you praise and glory today. Thank you for East End Baptist. Thank you for the precious friendships, Lord God, that you have given me in my life. Just in being able to be together with them. And I pray you continually bless them, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're at work and you are being praised. And we know that we can do nothing without you. So, Lord, lead us in this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. I was starting to think about this passage as I was studying it out. I thought, you know, there's some relationship here I can look back on. Years ago, my wife and I just celebrated 20 years of marriage this year, and I can think back when we were first married, and there is something that I learned. I learned that I had no idea what I was doing. Can I get a witness? All right. So one of the things that I learned as a young married man is that my wife expected me to go ahead and start fixing things around the house. Well, one of the things she wanted me to do one year, this was in year one of marriage, she had a flag that she wanted to be hung outside of our home. Now, I was pastoring in South Arkansas at the time, and we lived in a brick home. So she said, would you take this flag? And it had everything in it, the kit, you know, the screws, the masonry screws and all that. So I said, sure, no problem, no big deal. Well, I started to realize there was a problem. Actually, I didn't even own a drill, right? So I had to figure out, oh, I've got to go get a drill. So I got a drill. And I didn't grow up this way. So I didn't grow up. I had a basketball in my hand more than I had tools in my hand. So I just grew up in that kind of environment. So what happened was, is I went and got me a drill. And then I realized, oh, you got to have a certain bit. The drill bit's got to be a masonry bit to be able to drill through brick. So I figured that out. Well, I got everything together. And I was going to go ahead and just hang this flag up. Thought probably won't take 10 minutes. Well, an hour later, I'm still trying to hang the flag. Now, she's in the house, and I'm trying to not let it be a big deal, right? Because I'm embarrassed. And so what happened was, is I just said, I've got to figure this out. So I kept trying, and then I went through three drill bits that broke on me, trying to drill into this brick. And I was pushing, my arm was as limp as a noodle, right? I was trying to get it in, I couldn't figure it out. Well, I finally came to a point where I said, there's no way. There's just no way I'm going to be able to hang this flag. I'm going to have to go in there and tell my wife that I could not hang her flag. And I was just discouraged by it. Well, what happened is that I came to find out that the entire time I was drilling and sweating and pushing and breaking drill bits is because I was going in reverse the whole time. I didn't know you had a forward button on the drill. I didn't even have a drill, right? Yes. So when I figured out you hit the other side of the drill, I drilled through that thing in probably 7 minutes. It wasn't a big deal, right? But I'm telling you, when you realize that you're doing something and you cannot go past what you're doing, you have to come to a point, right, where you say, if there is no way, then let me reevaluate. Let me see. Let me discern. Let me see what exactly is it that needs to change. And that's how it is whenever we come to a point where we are beginning to follow Christ. John 15, Jesus said this statement. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, he says, you can do nothing. It's the reality that when an apple tree is producing apples and the branches are hanging off of that big trunk of the apple tree and you grab the fruit off of it, those branches hanging off are not independently all by themselves making the fruit come off. They're not producing fruit in and of themselves. They're obviously producing because they're getting their source of nourishment and nutrients from the trunk of the tree through the roots into the ground. Everything's working together to produce the final product. Jesus wants us to know that in the life of which we live for him, there really is no way without Jesus. Now, we make that statement, and obviously we think about salvation and eternity, and we would say to someone, as we said to a lot of people yesterday in Hot Springs, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There's no other way. There's no other option. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. So that's an absolute statement. Amen? And we are not apologetic to say that because we have become believers of Christ and we follow him and say, guys, there's no other way. Salvation is one thing. Equating that to salvation, but let's go ahead and fast forward into our actual Christian lives in which we are saved by Christ, yes. But then we begin that daily walk with Jesus. And the flesh is warring against the spirit. And we are in a struggle day by day. And everyone, every day in the Christian life, has a choice to make. To put on the armor of God. To walk in the power of God's spirit. To be like Jesus. But every day, some days are a lot more successful and effective than other days. And what we find is in that struggle. And we come to a point to realize that really there is no way I'm going to make any progress in my Christian life if I am not tapped in to Christ, his power, his word, his ways, dependence on him. And I want to share with you today that in the scripture of John 6, there is a story that gives you and I a very practical, applicable connection to the simplicity behind how easy it is to just try to live the Christian life in some days without Jesus. Just going by emotions or going by, we'll just do whatever it Just the attitude that says, you know, I'm just going to just kind of take it easy today. Just kind of do things the way I think I need to do, but not really be tapped into Christ. I need you, and I can do nothing today apart from you. So in John 6, we have from this story some factors. There are actually four different factors that show up here in the story of what defeat looks like without Jesus. And my heart's desire today is just to kind of, us just kind of get into this time together and have a moment between us and the Lord. We're in church. We're obviously here to worship God, to give him first place of our week. We're here for no other reason, right, but to lift him up. So we want to hear what God has to say. We want to start this day off from the Word of God and say, God, speak. I'm listening. I want to know, what does the Scripture say? So let's look into the Scripture and let's hear what God says so we can understand what this all means. The thing that I want us to get into about the factors of defeat is that we have an example in our Bible of what happens when the disciples of Jesus tried to do something without Jesus. And the result was disastrous. And right now, for any of us who may be here in any kind of struggle, any specific way in which we might be imbalanced in our Christian walk right now, we might admittedly, though we don't want to say it out loud maybe, but we might admittedly and privately be saying, you know, I'm really wrestling inside with some things that are just kind of out of balance in my life, out of order. And maybe it could be that maybe in the areas of prayer and studying the Word, it might be that it's kind of hit and miss some days. And you might find yourself occasionally saying, you know, I've just kind of been weak in this way. And I know I need to get back. And I know what I need to do. I just need to do it. And it might be that we might be there. If that might be any of us today, let's learn from the disciples exactly what Jesus speaks into this. So the first area that we notice that there is an area of defeat in which they tried something without Jesus begins right here in verse 15. If you'll look in your Bible in John 6, look at verse 15. It says, therefore, when Jesus knew that they were about to come to take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. What I want you all to see for just a moment is, again, the context of this is that prior to that verse, Jesus has been feeding the 5,000, right? And he's got a great crowd of people that are believing that he is the Christ, and they want to follow him because he's feeding them and he's helping them. Well, what happens is that they start to look at Jesus in the sense that, hey, we're overcome by the Roman Empire right now. We got a new king. I mean, he's going to be able to overcome Rome, and we're going to take him to be our king. And so the Jewish people of that day are under the attack of the Romans, and so they're trying to figure out, who could this be? Maybe he could be the one. So they want to take him by force. Take him, bring him in, and say, this is going to be our new king. Well, Jesus has to withdraw. And he goes off by himself. And any time in the Scripture we see Jesus going off by himself, most of the time it's going to be so he can pray. And he's off by himself on the mountain. Well, what happens is the disciples are, as we're about to read, are going to try to go ahead and get in a boat. And they're going to get away from Jesus, and they're going to take off in this boat. But Christ is not with them. And they're going to try to go without Jesus just for this little distance. They'll find out it's going to be a disaster. The reason why this happened is that at some point they were waiting on Jesus. He was away from them, and while he was away, we don't know how much time passed, but we know this. They got tired of waiting to some extent because they get in the boat and they go without Christ. One of the things in our lives that we start to see right away from this example of the disciples, whenever we get away, whenever we have a defeat in our life without Jesus, it comes in the area of impatience. It's whenever impatience happens, when we are beginning to get impatient, we get frustrated during seasons of silence. It happens when somebody's in prayer and they're waiting on God to answer, but there is no answer. And it's the time of waiting that begins to happen. And when the seasons of silence begin to say, Lord, I've waited, I've prayed, there seems to be no change. When is this going to get better? When is this going to make a breakthrough? We find ourselves waiting, and the waiting is longer than we anticipated. It's in the seasons of silence when God is doing some of his greatest work. It's in the waiting that there's going to be a product produced from the waiting, but if we'll just hang on and just wait on what God's going to do. In James chapter 1, he says, let patience have its perfect work in you, that you would be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. It was Mary and Martha who looked at Jesus in John 11 when he came. And the very statement that she said to him is, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The 4 days was a long time to wait. It very well may be right now that one of the areas in life is something that you may be waiting on. Some of us may have been praying and waiting. And right now, we may be frustrated for the sense of saying, I've waited, I've prayed, I don't see a change, and I don't know when things are going to change. My grandson is still the same way, and I've been praying for him. My wife still is struggling with this. There's no change. I've been working on this at my job with a situation with one of my coworkers. There's still no change. How much more do I keep praying, and how much longer do I have to keep waiting? God's people get to a point where you and I can become very vulnerable here. Genuinely, we can become frustrated during a season of silence. And if there's any one of us here that are saying, okay, I've been frustrated, I don't know how much longer I can do this, be careful, because that impatience leads to something else. And we see it as another factor of defeat in the text. If you'll read with me, look what happens next in your Bible. When they got this impatience, it produced this independence that we're going to look at here now. It starts off right here in verse 16. And if you'll look together at verse 16, here's what the Bible says. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. When you go here and read that, I want you to do this as well. Go over here with me to verse 22, and I want you to see what the scripture says in verse 22. It says, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea knew there had only been only one boat. They also knew that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. You see that? Okay, the picture is getting more clear. What we know at the beginning of verse 16, it says, when evening came. So that little timeline gives you an idea that there was some time that passed. Evening came. They waited. Jesus was off by himself. Evening came. We're waiting. And so then they say, we're going to go into the boat. And the Bible says in verse 22, a little commentary, that actually they got in the boat without Jesus. Jesus was never in that boat, but they took off without him, waiting on him. What you have is a picture there that another factor of defeat that happens when I try something, if I try to somehow make it in this life without Jesus, it not only comes usually out of a season of frustration due to silence. The impatience produces independence. And what happens with independence here that we see together is simply that you'll see that the Bible says here that they went down to the sea. You see that? They went down to the sea. Christ is on a mountain. Rather than waiting with Jesus where they've been feeding the multitudes, they go down into the sea. It's a picture here of what it looks like going down and then getting into a boat. Whenever we get impatience in our life and we don't give God the time and we give up too soon, we throw in the towel, we just say, okay, I don't know how much longer I can take, and we kind of the impatience starts to produce independence. And the independence is that I'm just going to go ahead and go down into the boat. I'm going to go without Jesus. I've waited long enough. What happens is that in our life, we start going downhill and we start getting into stuff without Jesus. It's a picture of even when Jonah, who ran from the presence of the Lord before he was swallowed by the big fish, the Bible says in chapter 1 that he went down to Joppa. He paid the fare of the boat, the fee to get on the boat, and then he went down into the ship. You get a picture that Jonah is in the presence of God. He runs from God's presence, and he goes down to Joppa, down into the boat. Seems like whenever we get away from the Lord, we're always going down. But whenever we stay near the Lord, we're just walking with him. And it could be in these moments that if any one of us have been struggling with something in life that requires patience, and it's starting to, we're wearing thin, it's been fragile, and we finally, we may be at a point where we're kind of drifting away a little bit. We're kind of not as hot after prayer with the Lord. Maybe not as passionate for sharing the gospel with others. Maybe we've cooled off a little in our Bible study because we're kind of like, you know, what's the point? I don't know what God's doing, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do now. Independence is when we start going down and getting into stuff in life without Jesus. It happens when somebody gets addicted to something. It happens when they let their guard down. It happens when they start to cool off toward the Lord and maybe even to church and maybe hit and miss in church. And before we know it, we just start drifting away from the Lord and we start getting into stuff as we go down without Jesus. The disciples here experienced an incredible defeat that started with impatience. It's evening. Where is Jesus? Come on, boys, let's go. And they go independently without him. When we start having impatience in our life that produces independence and we're kind of drifting away from the Lord, it leads to yet another progressive decline of defeat. And it's right here in the scripture. Look with me, verse 17. It says, when they started across the Sea of Capernaum, now notice this, darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. Then a high wind arose, and the sea began to churn. And it says, after they rowed about 3 or 4 miles, it says they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming near the boat. And it says, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. What you will notice together with me there, don't miss it, the impatience has now led to independence. And now this independence is producing what we notice in the text is instability. The instability is that they're not stable. If you'll notice, they waited on the Lord, then they got away from the Lord independently, said, I'm going to do this on my own. And they get into the boat without Jesus, which was a bad idea. And now that they're in the boat without Jesus, they're going, oh no, oh no. Things are not like it was when I was walking with Jesus. Now they're dealing with darkness instead of light. They're dealing with wind, storm, instead of peace be still, serenity of walking with Jesus. They're now rowing 3 or 4 miles on the water. Can you imagine? That's a long way, amen? 3 or 4 miles, not 300 or 400 feet. 3 or 4 miles. You get the idea that they're tired. They're exhausted. It's a long distance. The more impatience there is in their life, the more independent they get, and the more unstable life becomes. Now I've got darkness. Now I've got distance. I'm 3 or 4 miles away from Jesus, but I was right there with him on the mountainside. But now, look at all this distance between me and Christ. It's dark. It's windy. There's fear. They're afraid. All of these are the products that are in circulation of what happens to somebody's life when they start off with the Lord and something challenges them and it calls them to say, oh no, Lord, I'm getting weak. I'm waiting. I'm praying. I can't go on much longer. And if that Christian starts to waver enough and independently starts to drift, he or she will find herself or himself in instability where they start becoming crushed under the weight of our own independence. That's what happens. The disciples are getting crushed. The dark, the fear, the distance, the wind, all of these are producing a weight on them that they are like, I don't. What am I doing? This is even worse than waiting in prayer. I thought patience was a lot, but this is now even more than I can take. When Samson, the strong man in Judges, when he woke up that time out of his deception, it's in Judges 16, you might remember the story. It's when he woke up after his hair had been cut and the Nazirite vow had been nullified, and now all of a sudden
Samson, who has had the Spirit of God on him as a judge, has been able to help Israel in that time against the Philistines. Well, after he gave in to his temptation, it was too late. And you might remember in the story that whenever she said to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you," the Bible says that Samson said, "I will get up as at other times, and I will go and defeat the Philistines." And then the last part of Judges 16:20 says, "Yet he did not know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him." What happens is that you go down to verse 30 in the same text, and now Samson has had his eyes gouged out. He's a blinded man. He's under now the shackles of a Philistine prison. He's now working as a grinder under the prison, and he prays one last time for God to have mercy and for God to step in. And the Lord mercifully hears his prayer. And if you remember, Samson gets the strength one more time, and the entire palace temple of the Philistines come crashing down. Even though the Bible says he killed more in his death than he did in his life, you get a picture of this man who went further from the Lord until finally he gets crushed under the weight of his own independence in the same sense. What happens in the Christian life is it looks like that. It's a slow fade. It's a slow downward spiral when we start to get away from just saying the simplicity of trust in the Lord Jesus. I can't do this without you. You are the vine, and I am just a branch. I can't do this without you. Today, it could very well be in God's timing and his providence, even in this service, that right here, right now, there might be some of us, maybe one of us, that just says, "That's me. That's where I am. I'm at a point right now where I am being crushed under the weight. And as I examine and I look back a little bit, I can see where I started to get away from the Lord in a time that I was in a really difficult place. And I didn't quite understand, but I kind of gave up. And now, instead of when I gave up, I kind of gave in to my independence. And I'm drifting. And now that I'm drifting, I'm out here 3 or 4 miles and Jesus is way over there. And it's not that he left me, it's that I left him. Because I'm the one that got further away. And now I need to come on back. That's what leads us to this last and final conclusion of the fourth and final factor of defeat. How we know what it is this. It's all about the impossibility that's stated right here in verse 21. Notice this in your Bible. "Then they were willing to take him on board. And at once the boat was at the shore where they were heading." Wow. So when you read that, did you catch that? If I'm 3 or 4 miles out and it's dark and it's windy and I'm afraid, how many of you can tell? It's a long way that they've gotten away from Jesus. Amen? And as soon as they see him 3 or 4 miles out where they are, they willingly take him on board. How many of y'all think that's a great idea, right? It's about time, right? But what you'll notice, the Bible says, and at once they were at the shore. See, when they got on the boat, geographically speaking, where Capernaum is, they were going to the next area across. So they thought, "Oh, it's no big deal. We'll just go and we'll catch up with him later somehow." That's not how it works. They've always been with Jesus. They are the students. They are the disciples. He's the master. You don't go anywhere where he doesn't go. You follow Jesus. But instead of waiting, impatience got the best of them. They got independent. They got crushed under the weight of their instability. And then they realize the impossibility is this. We're not going anywhere unless Jesus is in the boat. I can't make it without him. It's going to be defeat. I can try, and I can get out every sweat of my brow. And I can make whatever money, and I can get whatever job, and I can buy whatever thing in this world, but it's going to still leave me empty if I don't have the Christ to be my shepherd, my healer, my source of song, the deliverance from my days. Amen? That's what is needed, but yet it's an endless cycle of defeat unless we just get back
Jesus, I need you in the boat. It was Moses after they had the golden calf disaster and the Ten Commandments he brought down from Mount Sinai in Exodus 32. Those tablets would be broken. Moses would be furious. God was ready to judge the nation because they had played the golden calf. They had gone through idolatry. And you might remember in chapter 33, after that incident, Moses makes the statement. It's in verse 15. And he said to the Father, he said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us to the promised land, then don't bring us up from here. Moses was basically saying, you are so necessary for our life, for our breath, for our survival, that God, we may be a lot of people here as Israelites, but our number does not mean anything. What matters is we are going to fail if your presence doesn't go with us. We can't even go to the promised land unless you go with us. Jesus, I can't even get to the shore. I'm 3 or 4 miles out unless you are in the boat. At once, they appeared. A lot of ways you can look at that, but it sounds pretty miraculous to me. How are you 3 or 4 miles out in Capernaum and all of a sudden, you're right at shore? Because when Jesus is in the boat, I'm telling you, he said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Boys, if you just needed to get to the shore, I just need to be with you. You guys are making this too hard. You're trying too much. You're trying to do things without me. Listen, just follow me, and I will give you rest. I will lead the way. I am your shepherd, because Jesus is not a herdsman. He doesn't drive the sheep. He leads the sheep as a good shepherd. And he's ready to take them where they need to go. Let me tell you today, no matter the defeat, no matter the failure, no matter the distance, if you find yourself somewhere in this journey and you are saying this morning in agreement with the text, your soul, your spirit, you are bearing witness to the truth of Scripture and you're saying, I agree. There's no way without Jesus. For some of us, we are walking with Jesus and we might look back and say, boy, I've learned some lessons in my life, and that's exactly right. There's no way without Him. But for some of us, it might be that we're right in the middle of that. And we're just like, I need help. I need to know what I need to do. What's my next step? How do I go forward from here? In a moment, we're going to have this time of invitation, a time to sing. And as we do, let's have this moment where we can call on the Lord. And if you are here today without a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, please know that He died on the cross for your sins and He rose from the dead. And if you're sorry for your sin and you want Christ to save you because you believe He died and rose again for you, then repent. Turn from sin. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Christ will give you eternal life. Don't go any further without Jesus. It's eternally not a good idea. But if you know Him and you're just stuck right now, you're just kind of in a rut, stuck, and you're like, I need to go forward, the only way to go with forward is to go with Jesus. Wherever you are, don't let the devil whisper any lies that tells you you're too far gone, because you're not, because He's too much the Lord of heaven. And He forgives, He restores, and He reconciles, and He brings us back. He picks us up, cleans us up, and He puts us back on track where we need to be going with Him. He did it for Peter in spite of denials. And He'll do it for you. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads at this time. And this will be a time of invitation and a time to pray. And let's seek the Lord together. Father, I just want to thank You for the kind and amazing mercies of Jesus. I thank you, God, that even this morning you are so present and so here to help and to strengthen and to guide. And I pray, Father, for anyone lost without Christ, that if today is the day of salvation for them, Lord, you draw them. You bring them to yourself, Lord, out of your loving kindness. For my brother or sister this morning that may be struggling and dealing with some of these factors, some of these things, Lord God, that they recognize, it's just where they are in this at this point in their Christian life, and they need so badly to make a change. Would you give them strength and encouragement and hope from your Scripture to know that it is possible through Jesus? Let them not go forward until Jesus is in the boat. Help, Father, I pray. Your will be done. In the name of Christ, I give you praise and glory, Lord. Amen.